Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Farmers and producers endure hardship, adversity, and uncertainty. They endure, but they also adapt and innovate. The annual Soil Health Conference launches virtually tomorrow. Today we meet two of the conference's participants. Lauren Steinlage is an Iowa farmer and equipment innovator from West Union, Iowa, and Nick Jorgensen is the CEO of Jorgensen Land and Cattle near Ideal, South Dakota. Lauren, welcome to In the Moment. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
And Nick, welcome back. Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year. Thanks for having me.
All right. I want to start with Lauren because, 2020, we chuckle wryly about what kind of year 2020 was as business and work needs to go on. The last 2 years in South Dakota, we've had flooding and tariffs and an election and all kinds of uncertainty, pandemic, hardship. Meanwhile, people have gone through intense hardship and overcome things in their personal lives as well. So tell us a little bit about your operation first, Lauren, and then tell us how you have kind of looked at coming out of 2020 and looked at how you can not only endure but innovate. So let's start with the operation first, please.
Home operation is, I guess we call it about 750 acres. I don't know truly how to quantify the acres when we do multiple, we're starting to double crop and some triple cropping, stuff like that. So, the base acre is there, but we try to maximize each acre the way it is. Claim to fame, I guess, if you call it that, is we've never been afraid to adapt a piece of equipment to what we think we need it to be. And over the years, that's led me now to an engineering role with Dawn Equipment Underground Ag. And I guess I might as well toot the horn a little bit. Next week, it's announced already that we won the Innovator Award for the National No-Till Farmer Conference. So
Nice. Congratulations. And you've done, we were just listening to an interview a minute ago from the Soil Health Conference where they talked about, if you want to start, just watch a bunch of YouTube videos, like spend some time online. You spent a lot of time online because you kind of had to be in a hospital setting for quite some time. Tell us a little bit about that, if you're willing.
I mean, I caught the last little bit of Doug's speech, his presentation there. I mean, that he laid it out there. That's where we need to go. The biggest hurdle a lot of people struggle with is that first step. And as I'll talk about it Thursday, the mentor network, and that has been one of my key assets, having something like that behind the guy is just the critical part, getting that confidence to move forward. Our personal story, when my son got sick, I was forced into the hospital and took advantage of that to get my mindset off of the what was at hand there. I just started studying and learning, and one of the key things was put together a list for my son there, the top 10 people to pay attention to, and we progressed over the year now to where I pretty well personally know everybody on that list now, and some pretty cool folks and willing to step in and help a guy.
Tell me the name of the network again, you said.
Just a private peer group is the big part, but the list of 10, it included a few guys you might know, like Jay Fear and Gabe Brown and Dr. Beck and Chris Nichols, and like I said, there was a pretty neat list there, never knowing at that time how it progressed over the years as we really started focusing on what we were doing, our paths would all cross.
Yeah. Nick, tell us a little bit about Jorgensen Land and Cattle, please.
Yeah, so Jorgensen Land and Cattle, owned by the Jorgensen family here north of Winter, South Dakota. We farm about 13,000 acres up here, and then we run a herd of about 1,000 Angus cows all in this part of the world that supplies the genetics for our bull leasing program. We're the largest seed stock producer in the United States. In 2020, we marketed just under 4,200 bulls across the Midwest and then along the Gulf states as well. So that's really kind of, our main line of business. But as it relates to farming and soil health, my dad, Brian, has managed our crop operation for a very, very long time, and his focus has always been around improving soil health, namely by building organic matter is kind of what we focus on. least not just organic matter, but that's one of the big things we watch. And, you know, that's led us to trying different kinds of cover crops and companion crops. And the last few years, the big focus has been about getting hooves out on farmland acres. That kind of segues into the conversation I'll be having on Thursday.
Yeah. I want to talk about this equipment innovation here in just a minute, but there is something that you two have in common, but yet you approach it from a different way that I'm hoping you might talk for a moment about. And that is this new generation of producers and farmers, you know, from Nick, from your work with your dad and the education that you have, master's degrees, and Lauren, with the work that you've done with bringing young people into, you know, an experiential kind of education and work. Let's talk about the next generation as it's affected you and as you look to the future, even as your young people thinking about who comes after you. Lauren, would you start with that a little bit of what you've done and your philosophy about introducing young people to the science and the life of farming?
Well, big part of what we do is we started out, we had a 4-H group based out of our home farm here that transpired out of the greenhouse. And it's just been neat over the years to watch the kids take the time to learn. And, you know, our field days usually tie in. We try to bring the scientists in, and one of the deals is they get to work with the kids. And, you know, that all goes back to when our son Roland was sick. You know, some people stepped in and helped our daughters, so just kind of been our pay it forward campaign. You know, this year we progressed to the point where it's going to be hopefully a focal point of the county fair. And
nice.
try to bring as many kids in to teach and learn.
Yeah. Lauren, how hard is it to, you know, to make room for, you know, a viability of someone staying, you know, home in quotation marks there, but, you know, staying close to home versus, you know, having kids grow up and leave the farm? Challenges there?
That's just the challenge is giving them, you know, making room for the opportunity for them to thrive. And, you know, I'm fortunate enough, my dad, about the time I was peaking, he stepped aside and gave me the reins, you know, and that's the big challenge we're encountering in our operation right now. That's kind of why I took the job with Dawn Equipment. I'm getting ready to step out of the way and let, you know, my true passion is the bending iron, and I've got a daughter and future son-in-law that wants to focus more on the management side.
Interesting. Nick, tell us a little bit about how that's worked with your dad.
Yeah, well, you know, generational transition has kind of always been a focus, starting with my grandfather, Martin. He had the vision years ago just to make sure that there was always room for the next generation and that the business was structured such that, you know, we could get it into the hands of my dad and his brother, and then consequently myself, my cousin Cody, and so we can make room for Cody's kids and my kids. It's just always been a focus. And as it relates to, you know, finding a place for everyone, you know, we're lucky in that our operation has kind of enough size and scale that, you know, we have a lot of needs. And so all the members of our family get a chance to thrive and, you know, be where their skill set is most suited. That's why I have the title CEO. My skill set kind of focuses around the business management side. You know, I'm not an agronomist. I'm not a geneticist. I'm not a nutritionist. And if someday, you know, the next generation, like one of my sons or one of Cody's sons, decides that nutrition or soil health or agronomy is their fit, what they want to do, you know, our operation has the room for it. So we have a lot of opportunity. We're lucky in that. I'm not going to say that all operations have that luxury, but we try to take advantage of it as much as possible to bring good skill sets to the table.
Yeah. And to preview a little bit of what's coming up in this conference, Nick, let's start with you and tell us a little bit about GPS collar technology and how that stands to perhaps innovate your operation.
Okay. Well, I guess, you know, the first thing I'll just say is that you think about that for a second. A collar you know, on a cow. You know, what a concept, right? And so the journey that we had, I'll talk about this in more detail in my presentation, but, you know, we started rotationally grazing our cattle here within the last 5 years. We'd always done it to a certain degree, but we really ramped up the schedule. And, you know, what we were finding was there's logistical limitations to that. You know, we're managing 1,000 head of animals. there's lots of people that rotationally graze cows, move them every day, put them in small paddocks. That gets really hard when you have a lot of animals. It just, it takes a lot of manpower, right? And we're doing rotational grazing and we're seeing the benefits, right? We're seeing healthier native range. We're seeing healthier animals. We're seeing more efficient utilization of our grass. And we're even seeing benefits on the farmland side when we rotationally graze through crop ground. But it just, it takes time. It takes supplies. It takes an immense amount of planning and scheduling. And, you know, the idea is this, what if we had a collar that, or something that would just move the animals for us whenever? It could do it on a Saturday or a Sunday, and we don't have to go out there and move a fence or anything like that. And so we were tipped off about a product from a different company, got to see it, look at it, piqued our interest. So we went down the path of getting our hands on some. Through a lot of different stuff that I'll once again talk about Thursday, we ended up with a company called Vents that makes a GPS cow collar, and we got to try them in 2020 on our heafers. And it was an awesome learning experience. We were happy with the results. We were able to rotationally graze some cattle without having to move fence. And the potential is there for it to be a really cool technology for us, just from a grazing efficiency perspective, really is the big one.
Yeah. And Lauren, you talked about just, using equipment for new and interesting things, and that's led to a new future for you. Tell me a little bit of a highlight from what you might talk about on Thursday about equipment innovation.
Yeah, one of the highlights I see is going to be the technology on the future that is coming. You know, this past year, well, the last 2 years, we've dealt quite a bit with drones for seeding and spraying. And now this past year, we've had access to in-row robots and stuff like that. And I'll kind of touch base on some of that. You know, I know there's a lot of guys out there right now shrugging technology, but, you know, history would show we got to keep moving forward.
And, did you say in-row robots?
Yes.
Is that what you said? Tell me more about
acres.
That.
Yeah, we seeded 50 acres with an in-row robot this year.
All right, tell me what it looks like. Take me out of my little studio and describe it to me in the field. What does that look like happening?
Yeah, I mean, actually, we have the, I mean, if you're going to Google it, the ROWBOT would be the older version of it.
Huh.
But then another company we were dealing with is a pure prototype business out of Waterloo, Iowa. They came out with Amos. I mean, it's eerily similar. They both are on track machines, but they're under 25 inches, and they can go down in between the rows. And, you know, the Amos has Tesla batteries. So that was their biggest holdup in production. They had to wait for a wrecked Tesla so they could get the batteries out of it. when you want to see the future, you know, I know we're not going to be able to farm the world with small robots, but the key to me is figuring out how we can use that technology to do things I can't do today. And, you know, that right there is me in a nutshell. I want to figure out how to do things better than we're currently capable of doing. And I think we stumbled on a few things this year that are going to, you know, everybody's loves the 60-inch corn. Well, now we've figured out how to relay in corn with 60-inch. So I'll probably touch base on that a little bit, show you what we're going to start doing there. And,
wow. All right.
We're trying to figure out how to maximize every acre.
Welcome to the future. You can learn more at the annual Soil Health Conference. It's virtual this year. We'll put some links up on our website after the program at listen.sdpb.org. Our guests have been Nick Jorgensen, CEO of Jorgensen Land and Cattle. That's near Ideal, South Dakota. And Lauren Steinlegge. He's from West Union, Iowa. That's northeast Iowa. Lauren, nice to meet you. Thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
It's been a pleasure. Would have loved to have been there live, but we're going to do the best we can virtually.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. We'll meet you again. Nick, thanks so much for being here as well. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.